Shalom, we're going to be continuing our shirim on Yichud HaSbudos from Rav Avram Kluger. This is the fifth shir of the series. We're on Daf Chav Dalad, Os Gimel. We're going to be discussing now the next level of connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Baram kan yesh lahavin shanisker la'ayl, havi rak ha'atchala, v'atan yitzrichim lagi al shlav habel shel hitkashras. What we've been discussing until now in the past few shir, we've been discussing different levels of connection between a wealthy person and a poor person, between two different people, right? And we've been discussing there are many different ways they can interact. One is by chance, and one is not the most pleasant way. Right? Here's some money, thank you for coming, Gordon. And there's a more pleasant way when you invite them in. And then there's a third way where actually you really make them feel necessary. But it's clear, of Kluger writes, that this is still all the beginning. These are the very external. It's still a very external relationship. The connection between these two people hasn't yet reached the level of true hisgashrus, true connection. Right? Let's use the following mashal. Right? You have two friends. They're friends. They don't talk to each other all the time. They don't call each other up. Right? But when they see each other, they're very friendly. So you have two people in this relationship who meet at a simcha. Ah, it's great to see you. Yitzchak, it's great to see you. Thank you, Moshe. It's great to see you too. V'notzra sicha tov bein shneim. And they always have such a nice time when they speak together. V'gam echad shol itzmireo. And whenever Yitzchak sees Moshe, he usually has a question for him. Something he thinks, Moshe can provide him insight in. Ach af sheish hana bein shneim. Even though they both enjoy seeing each other, mikol makom. Yitzkashos hirak b'ofen chitzoni. V'ein kan inin shol ratzon yitzkashos milchachil nefesh b'nefesh. If they were so close, if Yitzchak and Moshe were so close, if they had such a deep relationship with each other, it wouldn't be just stam, whenever they get to see each other, they'll see each other. Stam, when they bump into each other, that's when they'll talk. No, it would be much deeper. It would be a even if not, it doesn't need to be constant every day, every week, but they would reach out to each other. They would make a point of connecting with each other, right? If there was a real skashus, if there's a real connection, obviously, it would be something they would want to keep living. They would want to talk to each other on a regular basis, even regular meaning once a month, once a year, they would intentionally reach out to the person to speak with them. Because when it comes down to it, the general rule is, if something is special, it's intentional. If something is unique, it's intentional, it's not by accident. That's the general rule. I mean, maybe we could think of exceptions to it, but let's think about for a second. Right, a person who wants to be, a person wants to be a tzaddik, let's say, right? Hopefully we'll have the desire within us to be a righteous person. That being a tzaddik doesn't just happen. It doesn't just fall into one's lap. You're not just born with it. Every step of the way, this Rambam teaches, has to be intentional. Read through, right? When we read through Maseilas Yesharim, it talks about, right, the serious cheshbon and nefesh that needs to go on. The serious cheshbon, it's not unintentional. It's not by accident. Every single action is intentional. Right? Is everything I'm doing going to get me to this end goal of being a tzaddik? And serious cheshbon nefesh, and look at the Sefer Maseilas Yesharim, all the different building blocks and all that. That doesn't happen. It doesn't happen just by accidentally. Right? A deep connection with the Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't just happen. It's a process. It's an effort. It's something conscious that we're thinking about, that we're working on. A deep connection between two people, a real living deep connection, does not happen just by chance. It's a lot of intentional effort. Intention, kavana. Why am I doing this? Why am I going out of my way to help this person that I love? Because I want to be closer with them. I want to have a true kashrus with them. Why am I working so hard to make this relationship the best it could be? Because it's important to me. I want a true kashrus. But it doesn't just by accidentally happen that a person ends up in any great relationship. It's with a lot of effort. It doesn't just happen that someone becomes a great businessman. It doesn't just happen that someone becomes a great athlete. There's years of work that go into it. And day after day, intention. What is my intention? It's nothing happenstance there. Right? A person who's in business might happen upon a good deal. But you don't happen upon good deals for 40 years, for 50 years. No. You work with the intention to become the best businessman you could be. It's hard effort. There's chesmon, there's cheshbonos also, right? Check the books. See what's bringing us in money. See where we're losing money. greatness in any field does not happen by accident, and especially not the greatest field of all, the field of Kedusha, the field of relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? A close and revealed kesher between a person and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning revealed between that person only and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a thriving relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, doesn't happen by chance. To really feel close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's intentional. It's a lot of hard work. Let's continue. Nimso sha'adayin ha'mekabel savar sha'afim amnon acher she'kvar bo. Hino ratzoy lenotin mikol makom kasho lahamin sha'notin rotze bo mechachila mamish ad ki ha'yabocher mitzido lekrolo she'evo mimerchok kedei lasot imo kesher pinimi. Rav Kluger is now going back to the mashal of the ani, right, the poor person and the wealthy person. In this circumstance, even though the wealthy person has done a good job of making the ani feel good and he's done a nice job of doing the mitzvah of tzedakah, it's the ani is not going to believe that the wealthy person actually wanted him until he was invited, right? Until the wealthy man made the first move. Until he called him up and asked him, how are you doing? Is everything okay? Until he reached out to him. That's a very unique level, obviously. There's a very unique level. And we bring it on the level of, let's say, between two friends. You have, again, Yitzchak and Moshe, they meet up at a wedding. It's so nice to see each other. And even if Yitzchak asks Moshe, you know, for some eta, even if that's the case. And Moshe, you know, Moshe's a little bit, he's not at the same level of Yitzchak. Yitzchak's a big shot a little bit. And Moshe's holding a little bit lower place. Moshe doesn't know if Yitzchak's actually happy to see him when they bump into each other. But Yitzchak says, you know, Moshe, I'm so happy to see you. Can you please help me? I need advice on this thing. So Moshe is happy to give him advice, and it makes him feel pretty good. He makes him feel like, wow, Yitzchak really does appreciate me. But Moshe is not going to feel like Yitzchak really considers him a friend until Yitzchak reaches out to him first. It's not just time we bump into each other, but you give me a call. You initiate. Nimso, she'adayin chaser b'hagdolas komaso b'pnimiyuso. And that's why, like we said, the relationship we spoke about in last year and the year before that it's not the deepest relationship yet. It's not an intentional relationship. In order to get this deep, deep relationship between one and another, between us and the Kadosh Baruch Hu, between the wealthy person and the poor person, all these different mashalim, between two entities. In order for that person who's receiving to actually feel like he's not just taking, but that the one who's giving actually wants to connect to him. That the ani feels, that the wealthy person, I actually care about you, he feels. The wealthy person doesn't just say he cares about him. He doesn't just try and build up the poor person, but for the poor person to really feel it, this is a whole different way of looking at things. This is a whole different way of connecting between people. Right, the poor person shouldn't just feel that, the wealthy person's helping me. The poor person, if we really want to get to this next level of relationship, the poor person has to feel, he has to be invited before he even reaches out. What's an example of this? Avram Avinu, right? Avram Avinu in his incredible ways, right? What do we learn? He was waiting at the Pesach Ha'ol, waiting to invite somebody in. He didn't wait till someone knocked on his tent, right? He didn't wait for that. As soon as I see an opportunity to greet another person, I'm running out to them because they could do me a favor. They're going to be doing me a favor by coming into my tent so I can feed them. This is the level of Avram Avinu, right? Intentional relationships. This is how Avram brought people back. This is it, because it was a real kesher. Avram said, meaning Avram could have painted it the following way. Right? There are three people walking in the desert, seemingly people. Okay, they're there. Seemingly they need a place. Wait for them to come up to you. Invite them in. Okay, they ask if they could have some food, some money. You know what? Don't. I'm not only just going to give you food. Come in. I'm going to give you, you know, a whole animal for each person, fresh bread, all these things. Great. That would have been very high level of Avram Avinu. But what would have these people or malachim, if they were people, would have felt? They would have felt like he's doing us a favor. He's a nice guy. He's happy we came. And even if Avram said, you know what, maybe you could give me eitzah on this. Maybe I don't have a child. Maybe you could daven for me. Maybe you could bless our master of the world. And okay, so they would have done that for him. But the emes, they still would have felt like, listen, he's doing us a big favor. Like, okay, he's trying to make us feel nice, and it's a very special thing, and we feel good about it. But to really feel like someone has a deep kesh with you, like they really care about you, it's exactly what Avram did. That's the Eitzah. I'm going to invite you in. You can help me. Not I could help you. Not I could help you. You could help me. That's what I need, Avram says. I need for you to come into my tent. I need that. I'm incomplete until you come into my tent. And only through this can you really ingrain in a person that they're needed to you. Only through this, right? Through us looking out. Through us making the initial interaction. Through us engaging another person in this way. That's how you could really build up the stature of another person. That to this perspective, it's the person who's seemingly giving, it's the wealthy person, it's the Avram Avinu who needs to open up the connection. He needs to be the one who starts the connection. Right? And this way, for he says an example, is that the Baal Bais should make it clear to the Ani that the Ani is what brings him, his wealth. He's not taking away the wealth. The poor person doesn't take wealth away from the wealthy person. He gives wealth to the wealthy person because there's nothing more profitable than doing a mitzvah. And even financially, it's going to come back to the wealthy person for giving the tzedakah. So it's a win for him in every way. And that way, the wealthy person needs the poor person more than the poor person needs the wealthy person. This will become ingrained on the heart of the one who's asking. Right? Beforehand, it was a matter of, does he want to give it to me? Does he not want to give it to me? Now I really believe, the Ani says, I really believe we have a deep connection. It's very clear, right, that when the wealthy person is the one who starts the relationship, that he actually does need the Ani. The Ani isn't just, you know, stam, it's a chefsa shel mitzvah. It's an opportunity for me to perform a mitzvah. It's not that. The wealthy person is saying, I need you. I need you to be complete. Avraham Avinu is saying to Malcolm, I need you, please. He's looking out for people to bring in because he wants to show them, I need to be complete. Only if you come in will I be complete. I'm lacking. I need you to come in and take of my food and take of my... Please. There's no greater avoda for us to work on than this avoda, which is believing that a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us so badly. Hashem made the initial action, right? Hashem... Every step of the way, we have to see. It's so easy to take for granted and say, okay, no. So what does this mean to us? We're talking about Espodos. We're talking about the Ani and Asher. Let's bring it back, okay? If we take a step back in our lives and we say, wait a minute, how much am I blessed with? Look how I'm blessed to have, you know, not many people don't have hands. Not many people don't have eyes. Not many people don't have legs. Not many people don't have hair. Am I blessed with one of those things? You know how many people don't, taking steps all the way back, as Rabbi Nachman talks about, until a person gets to this neshama. You know how many people in this world don't have neshamas? Right? They don't have the neshama of a Jewish person, at least? You know how many beings there are in the world? What the odds are you could have ended up a person, nonetheless a Jewish person? Right? And then we start understanding, wow, Hashem has given me so much. He's given me so, so much. What am I going to give back to Him? I can give back to Him very little. My tefillos are just like, and they're like... They're like nothing. They're like a poor person who gives, you know, a little advice to a wealthy person, but the wealthy person doesn't really need the poor person. But however, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. And He said, receive the Torah, or this world is gone. This world which I wanted to create. Hashem says, I wanted to create this world. I wanted to be able to give in a way that I wasn't able to give before. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I created this world so I can give in a way I wasn't able to give before. But if you don't receive this Torah, the world's going to be destroyed. If you don't receive this Torah, if we don't receive the Torah, if we don't understand that a Kadosh Baruch Hu's world only stays intact as long as we are receiving the Torah, if we are receiving from Him, this is it. That's what we're trying to understand here. Hashem has made the reality that He made this world function in a way that if we don't connect to Him, if we don't reach out to Him, this world is useless. Which means Hashem needs our tefillos. Which means Hashem needs our Torah learning. Now, of course, Hashem could have made it that He didn't need that. But He made it, this world, only work in the way that it will function and He'll be able to give to human beings if the Jewish people continue to do what they're supposed to do. If we don't do what we're supposed to do, the world will cease to exist. If we don't receive the Torah, the world will go back to Tohu Vavohu. That's it. Rak mikoach kach yichol mekabel avor al ha-shlav ha-sheni. Ledaber mipnimis heva libo diburim pnimim shel kesha mitimei alav. Only in this way can we really connect to Hashem in the deepest way. When we really want to talk to Hashem, if we really want to open up to Him, we have to know that He wants to see us. We have to know that He's longing for our tefillos. He's longing for our tefillos. He needs our tefillos. He made Himself need our tefillos. He wants our tefillos. Sharyanotin rotzebo v'sameach la'avuro v'gam hu nisakek alav. It's not just that Hashem feels nice when He has our tefillos. Hashem made that the world needs our tefillos. The world, in order to survive, needs our tefillos. And if we don't go daven, what a chisaron there is in the world of godliness. What a chisaron. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's aura is missing. His light is hidden in this world. If we don't do what we're supposed to do, if we don't connect to Him in the way we're able to connect to Him. But when we choose to connect to Him, when we choose to daven to Him, when we choose to speak to Him from the depth of our heart, we know that what happens, Hashem is going to fill this world with His aura. Right? He's going to fill our life with this aura. And that way we feel, that He needs us. He needs us in order to reveal His light in this world. Now, obviously, like we said many times, Hashem could have just revealed His light in this world. That's not what He wanted. He wanted us to reveal His light. So we are needed to reveal His light. Margish biyoter shehashvachim sha'atem hashmiya hanotin alav gvar inam kedei legadol komaso elabam elav mitoch yichud emiti ima. It's not just that, okay, I'm going to daven, that way Hashem will do a chesed for me and He'll give me something and, alright, I'll feel and I'll leave okay. I mean, I'll feel okay because I got what I wanted, maybe. But at the end of the day, what did I really give to Hashem? No. We have a deep connection. I need Him, and He made it so generously that in some way He and the world needs me. Mikan megia bechinas yichud shalim bein hamekabel hanotein. In this way, we create such a oneness between that one who is giving and the one who is receiving. Right? The ani and the wealthy person. Or obviously, that's a mashal for us and a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shaz nasim halavavos la'achas. We came one, come one with Hashem. We realize Hashem also is waiting for us to daven because He needs us. He wants us. He's waiting for us. It's not just stop. We come daven and okay, He'll allow us in. No, He's waiting for us. He's begging us to come. Any difficulty that comes our way, Rabbi Nachman teaches and the Sfarim teaches, and we see all through a Chazal also, right? The Yisurim that come upon a person with Chazal, right? It's just to waken up a person. Hashem's waiting to talk to them. Hashem's waiting. We realize, no, it's not just when we go and talk to Hashem, He's listening. No! Hashem is here. Hashem is waiting for us to talk to Him this very, very second. He's waiting for us. Regardless of all the other things He's doing in the world, He's waiting this very second for us to open up our mouth. The second we even think about talking to Him, He's there. He's ready. He's waiting. Everything else is put down. That's just us. That's called a panim b'panim relationship with Hashem. We're mamish. We're face to face with Him. B'matzav zeh kvar ein seder l'dvar mipoteach rishon. We reach such a level, it's not about, do I feel like Hashem's waiting for me? Should I open up to Him and show Him that I'm waiting to speak to Him? Should I? No, we're one. I'm constantly talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I constantly understand the fact that He's waiting to hear from me and I'm waiting to hear from Him. In whatever way Hashem releases His message to us, I'm waiting to hear from Him. Right, whether it's through other people or things that happen or feelings within myself, or this is the level of sim shalom, peace between one and another. A person feels so shalom with Hashem; they feel so connected with Hashem. There's such a peace between the two. There's not upper hand in terms of He's just giving me; I'm just receiving from Hashem. Which of course we're just receiving from Hashem. But in other ways, Hashem's waiting for us. He's waiting for us. He's waiting to receive from us. Right? This is what we're shooting for. This is the level of feeling chain, feeling precious, feeling valuable in Hashem's eyes, in our own eyes. v'avas chesed utstaku uvracha v'rachem b'chaim v'sham makotov. Right. With the light of this, his countenance, when we interact with the Kaddish Baruch Hu in this way, we realize that Hashem gave us a Torah. It's a living Torah, meaning it's a Torah that needs to be living. It's a Torah that needs to be expressed by those who are living. Hashem didn't leave the Torah by Malachim. He gave the Torah to us. Now, in order for that not to be a waste, for Hashem not to feel like, wow, I wasted it, why did I give a Torah to such people? He needs us to keep the Torah. When we keep the Torah, we make him feel like, wow. You know, we bring the whole tachas of the creation. That's the whole tachas of creation for the Jewish people to keep the Torah. V'avas chesem. We understand that this is a Kaddish Baruch Hu. This is a God we have who truly does chesem. He doesn't just give to us, but he also makes us feel as if he receives from us. V'tstaku v'racham v'racham chayim v'shalom v'kol tov. This is the blessing, right? This is the blessing. And we have this interaction with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. We have this level of, not more than our interaction, relationship with Hashem. Where it's not just that we're receiving from Him, and we go daven to Him and we need something, which is a very high level, don't get me wrong. It's very special. It means that we have a munah in Hashem, that things come from Him. But it's beyond just davening to Him when we need something. It's saying, I'm davening to Him this very second. I'm talking to Him. And I'm speaking to Him from my own words because I understand He's waiting to hear from me. Right? Hashem's calling me. He's saying, like, where are you? I miss you. And this way, we can't wait to go to shul, you know, only, go to shacharis, and then what? We keep him waiting until mincha? No. Every second, I have to be understanding that Hashem's waiting to hear from me and reach out to him and talk to him in my own words. Outside of the siddur as well. Outside of Tehillim as well. Just talk to him in my own words. Share with him my feelings. Share with him my struggles. Share with him the funny thoughts that I have going on. V'zat Hashem, we should be zocha to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on this level. Level of panim al panim. I'll share a quick story I've shared before, not in this series, but I've shared other places there. The story of Rav and Rebbetzin Machlis. So Chanon Lebracha, Rebbetzin Machlis, was the tremendous tzaddik as she was, and Rav Machlis, the big tzaddik he is. So the story was told over, I believe, by Rav Machlis at his wife's funeral about 3 years ago. Where there was a story where there was a man who would come to their house, and he would come. I think for a while he wouldn't agree to come to the house. He didn't want to come. I don't know if this man was homeless. There were certain difficulties this man had. That was for sure. And finally, he agreed to come. He agreed to come to the Machlis household, and he enjoyed it. Obviously, he loved it because it was a place where it's a place. It is a place where everyone feels loved and accepted, and feel special and unique. And if anybody listening to this has never been to the Machlis household, I urge you to go there. They put out a book, Rebbe Tzvi Machlis. I beg of you to read it. It's one of the greatest books I've ever read. It's a very, very special book. And she was an incredible lady. So this man would come, you know, he came to their house, he loved it, and he would come back. He would come back every once in a while, maybe it was month to month, and every time he would come back, so he would come back at pretty odd hours, whether it was 9 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night, 11 o'clock at night, but as, you know, the Machlis household is always accepting of, you know, guests, whether regardless of the time, they're always having people over, there's always people around, and okay, so they come in, and he says, Rebbetzin, can you please help me? I would like to know how to make homemade whole wheat pizza. So it wasn't enough that he didn't want to eat whole wheat pizza, and he didn't want to know how to make homemade pizza, but he wanted to know how to make homemade whole wheat pizza. Okay, so she would go and she would sit with him or stand with him and show him how to make it and make it with him. But this wasn't just a one time thing. Every time he would come back, he would ask for another tutorial. Like, obviously, this wasn't just somebody who needed instruction who was looking to open up a pizza shop. This was somebody who was in need of attention and shown. He wanted to be shown care and shown, and that's what he got. Right, whenever he came there. So he would ask again, can you please show me how to make this pizza? Can you show me? So there was one time where there wasn't, you know, there's the main living room and kitchen and dining room of the house. And then there's a hallway that goes to the back. And that's where the bedrooms are. So typically the guests hang out in the main hall, you know, the main room with the dining room, the kitchen. And this time it was about 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning. There was a knock on the bedroom door of Rav and Rebbetzin Machlis. Who would this be at 1:32 in the morning? So they say, okay, yeah, who is it? They say, oh, it's Harold. I want to know if we can make homemade whole wheat pizza. So you know, many of us would have been not up for this from the onset. When the first time came into the house, we probably wouldn't have even invited them to the house, and then inviting them to the house, and then constantly over and over and over. At this point, the Rav Machlis, the great tzaddik that he is, as he has decided that this wasn't the best thing for their family, and he didn't feel like I don't think that's what should be done right now. I don't think there should be homemade whole pizza. You know, I don't think you should go out and do that at 1:30, 2 o'clock in the morning with this man. So the Rebbetzin turned to him and she said, if someone came with $1 million right now and knocked on the door and said, would you please receive, would you please take this $1 million, $2 million, $10 million? Would it be a question? And she got up and she made the pizza with him. That's a panim el panim connection with all of mankind. It's not just that I have to go do this person a favor. Who else is going to talk to him? Who else is going to help him? It's like, no, like, this is the greatest opportunity for us to receive, right? By giving to another person in this way, her mindset was like, they're going to receive the most. The family herself is going to receive the most. It's an amazing opportunity to receive by helping this person. Obviously, we have to try and shoot for such levels of Rav and Rebbetzin Machlis to try and make all people feel this way. And also, to feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu views us this way. That He's waiting to make pizza with us. He's waiting for us to come in the middle of the night. He's waiting for us to come. Even though, you know, we might not have came to Him earlier. And even if, you know, maybe we've been a little bit neglectful. And even if Tuesday night, if you come at Tuesday night, 2 o'clock in the morning, to make homemade holy pizza, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting there. He's waiting there to receive from us. He's waiting there to spend time with us. May we be zocha to feel this way. May we be zocha to understand this is the reality. Thank you so much for joining us. Bye-bye.